Grind Time Mulching.
Joined today, Luke Shillab, president of Grind Time Mulching. Well, let's start off by giving you a little plug for your business, what it is that you guys do. Describe, you know, your day-to-day operations of your company, if you would, sir.
Yes, sir. Well, we do a lot of right-of-way clearing, mostly for new construction. We do some on the maintenance side on for the pipeline as well, and then we also clear several locations for different drilling contractors.
So your customer would be energy companies as well as construction companies, anybody that needs, I guess, a site prepared for whatever the reason might be. What name a few of the industries that you've done some work for.
Yes, sir. So we do a lot for several different energy companies. On the energy side, we're mostly doing the drilling locations, and then on the pipeline side, we're working for pipeline construction contractors. On the right-of-ways, and then that's about 80% of our business, and 20% is we do commercial clearing as well.
One of the things that I find interesting about the energy industry is not only the fact that, you know, a roughneck can figure out a new way to make a wrench or a vibrating tube and they become an overnight millionaire. I love that part of the industry. But it's the whole upstream, downstream, salmon stream. You know, it just seems like there's all these new streams that have shot off of oil and gas, whether it be from the technology side with big data, the sensors, the UAS, whatever it might be. It's just the more someone understands the energy industry, they really do see how diverse and vast the industry is. And your business really falls into that category, in my opinion, Grind Time Mulching. Explain exactly, you know, like pretend I'm, you know, a CEO of, I'm Harold Hamm, Continental Resources, and you're going to try to sell me on why your specific niche within the energy industry is going to save me time and money. Does that make sense, Luke?
Yes, sir. So, well, on our side, other mulching contractors, they mostly only run very the largest of the mulchers. We started out as a small company, and so we still run several smaller units, and we've worked our way up all the way into the, you know, the biggest of mulchers. So one way we're really able to save our customers money is we put the, you know, we match the size machine with the size of the job. So we don't send something out there that's, you know, way overkill for the job, where they're, you know, they're paying top dollar for a big machine for, you know, some smaller right-of-ways. And even on the larger spectrum, you know, we're a lot smaller company, and so I don't have near the overhead of, you know, much larger mulching companies. But where it saves them money online is we actually go in and, you know, traditionally they were clearing these locations and these pipelines just, you know, with dozers and excavators, and they were, you know, just piling up all the brush on the side of the right of way or side of the location. A good chunk of our business is going in there now and just mulching the piles that were pushed up from previous contractors, and the ranch owners or property owners, you know, they don't want this mess. They don't want to have to deal with burning the piles and everything, you know, especially down in South Texas and West Texas. There's such a chance of wildfires down there. You know, it's very dangerous to go in there and burn the piles left over from, you know, previous contractors. So definitely going in there and mulching it, you're left with virtually nothing, and, you know, all the nutrients goes back into the soil. So it's very beneficial for the customers to have us out there right off the bat.
Two side questions real quick off of what you just said. Luke Shillab with Shillab, sorry, with here I was all excited because I pronounced your name correctly on the second shot, and here I just messed it up, so I apologize. Grind Time Mulching. What you kind of talked about a little bit made me write down size matters, too big, too much. And what you're talking about, I think, is one of those parts of the energy industry that just doesn't get talked about as much as I'd like. And I'd like your opinion on this. What you just described was a way to navigate through the ups and the downs and the ebbs and the flows of the energy industry. And I think that's really important for people to understand, that if you're some hotshot company coming in and you're going to try to take on too much and you're going to try to grow too big, that shows that you really do not understand the industry as well as you're making it out to be, in my opinion. What do you make of that as far as the ability to navigate the ebbs and the flows when it comes to the energy industry? You're talking about how ways to save money because, you know what, you understand that you can't take on too much too soon. That's what I heard when you were kind of talking about your size of your company and your slow growth and the slow and steady wins the race type of a thing. Your comments on, I guess, my comments.
Yes, sir. So we're actually on the our mulching side of our company. We are, you know, we're growing at a very, trying to say at a safe rate, but at a very fast rate as well. But you know, we definitely don't want to bite off more than we can chew. Although we do try to figure out, you know, for our customers, you know, any way possible to, you know, get their jobs done, you know, in a safe and timely manner. Also going back to, you know, saving them money, you know, some of these big machines and stuff, just the sheer cost of moving them is, you know, a substantial cost, you know, especially on a smaller right of way. You know, it can cost upwards of, you know, $1,500, $2,000 to get a heavy haul to, you know, move one of these larger machines, where some of our smaller machines, we can just throw them on a gooseneck trailer and, you know, our mobilization is a fraction of the cost. So, you know, they're not having to pay $2,000 just to get a machine out there to do a $2,000 job.
And the other part of the question I wanted to ask you is when it comes to the reclamation and the earth and that sort of thing, I've done a number of features through the years and interviewed a number of whether it be a Harold Hamm or a James Volker from Whiting, and you know, not to name drop, but these are substantial companies, Marathon Oil, Lee Tillman, and we've had conversations about reclamation, and when you actually look on their, you know, see it on their face that they've talked to a lot of these ranch owners, and they come from an agricultural background and that sort of thing. To me, what I've found is that the higher ups really do want to make sure that the reclamation is above it, like, you know, give 110% type of a thing. Boy Scout model, leave the earth better than what you found it. You work in that industry. Do you find that there's some truth behind that, or do they just, you know, do the bare minimum and move on, I guess?
Yes, sir. On a number of the ranches I work on, in particular, name of ranches, Shiner Ranch down in South Texas, I do quite a bit of work on, you know, for several different energy companies on that specific ranch, and that ranch owner is very, very particular. You know, if he doesn't like a contractor in there, they've picked out multiple contractors, you know, whether it be for leaving trash or just, you know, not doing a good job and, you know, leaving a mess. And that is one of the specific ranches that I am going in and I am cleaning up after a lot of contractors, you know, cleaning up their piles of brush that they just, you know, dozed out of the way. You know, that is a very, I would say, a very large part of the market, because at the ranch owners, they can, you know, the energy company has a lease on it, but that specific ranch owner can name a certain contractor that they want in there, and it, you know, they bring in somebody that's cheaper that leaves a mess behind, you know, that they're not making the ranch owners happy, and it's just not a good scenario for anybody out there.
So how long have you been doing this? How many different shale plays are you in? Are you just kind of in a certain area? Talk to me about, you know, your reach and kind of your experience a little bit.
Yes, sir. So I started out, I've got another company as well. I've got an excavation company. I started that about 5 years ago when I was still at Texas A&M. And I started out in doing grab work more in the College Station area, building locations. And I wasn't so much in on the mulching side. And I started this mulching company about 2 years ago now. And, you know, it's really, really taken on. I've started out more in the commercial industry. And here in the past year, I've got into the oil field and pipeline markets. And it's really taken off for us. Right now, we're really servicing all of Texas. I've got locations in South Texas, out in Midland, and then one up in East Texas as well. And we'll reach up into southern New Mexico and Oklahoma as well.
That's great. And I think it's right in line with this evolution of the energy industry. You know, one of the things we've been talking about for the last, we're going on about 6 years now, is this new industry that's really come about, whether it's from, like I mentioned earlier, the integration of UASs or the sensors or big data or the fracking, horizontal drilling, that sort of thing. The sling and chains days are just, they're not there anymore. And we have a whole new, you know, worker, and we have a whole new set of new industries with, I mean, the safety industry alone, the compliance industry alone, I mean, has got to be the fastest growing sector within the energy industry, I'd imagine. But have you noticed that the industry and energy industry has kind of changed over the last 5 or 6 years? Obviously, you know, you're experiencing it through your work, but as you kind of look around, are you seeing some different professions and stuff pop up?
There seems to be just a lot more, I guess, pop-up, you know, service companies. Like you said earlier, you know, somebody can come up with a new method or a new idea, patent some kind of new tool, and they can just take off with it, you know, overnight. So it really seems that, you know, there's always been service companies around, but it seems like you can have a $1 million company based off of pressure washing now. You know, off the simplest things, and like you said, with that goes along with being in compliance and for safety reasons, there's an avenue for almost any market in the energy market. You know, whether it's just about anything you could think of, you could launch it in the energy market.
Ain't that the truth? Actually, the energy market, the mining industry, which is what oil and gas is under, is the only industry that has gained jobs over the last 10 years. So if you look at the last decade and you were to do a net gain or loss, the mining industry, oil and gas, is the only industry that actually gained jobs. All of those startups, all the shark tanks, all of that other stuff, at the end of the day, didn't sustain over a decade. The energy industry is the only one. And we had an up and a downturn in there too. So that's the other beauty part that I liked over the last decade that I saw with the energy industry. Even during the downturn, there was sectors that grew. Now, it was primarily science projects and some intellectual property type things that grew. But it did. It gave new opportunity to new people that worked in the oil and gas industry to see if their companies were viable or not. You know, on the natural gas side, look at what's happened there. We've made some incredible advancements, that sort of thing. So anyway, I get kind of excited about the energy industry. I'm an entrepreneur, and the first time I went out to a shale play, I was on like entrepreneur overload. My brain just short-circuited because everything was needed, from flower companies to vibrating tubes to hotshot oil companies. I mean, you name it, man. Mulching companies. This is to me, what you do is just exactly what the energy industry is. You've got a great service that not only helps the energy industry, but it helps the landowners too. So it brings it back to the earth. So talk to me about, we're kind of in conclusion here. How can people get in touch with you? You got websites. We're linked up on LinkedIn. So, I mean, talk to me about your social media, your websites, how people can, if they, you know, want to do some business with you.
Yes, sir. So I've really taken off on LinkedIn lately. I try to network as much as possible on that. I go to several different oil conventions, you know, when I can, and really, I've got a Facebook page, I've got, you know, Instagram, all that great stuff. We do have a website. It is, our mother company is YGCD Construction, and so that's my website, is ygcdconstruction.com, and really, I try to get out there on locations and just, you know, whenever I do have a job going on, I bring my guys out there and I try to at least show my face for one or two of the days that we're on every single job, and just go out there and, you know, meet whoever I can. And, you know, I love to talk with everybody in the industry on just learning. You know, I didn't come from an oil field background, so, you know, I like to get in there and I learn as much as possible from these other company men and everything. So really, just when I'm out there on the right of ways, if I see other companies around, I go up there and start talking to them and